Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
We're with Rattlesnake, Snake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double-teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Yes, motherfucker, man. It's the long setup, will you? Talking about I owe you. Bitch, you owe me. I'm promoting you right now. Yo, let's put the nail in this coffin.
I don't wanna be like this. I don't really wanna hurt no feelings. But I'm only being real when I say nobody wants to hear their grandfather rap. No men have heart attacks.
There we
I
go.
Don't want to be responsible.
We're here. Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. It's a Monday. You're goddamn right. I came back to New York City after my long fucking crazy weekend of traveling to Chicago, to Miami, all over out to meet the fucking fans of the world. And I come back to do these shows. That's how committed I am to the fan base. Not only do I travel the world and perform comedy, brilliant comedy, might I add, and meet everybody, shake hands, give out free infinite CBD samples after the shows. God damn it, I'm very giving. But then I make it back Monday morning to do the Real Ass Podcast.
When a sensible person would have just flown to Boston.
Yeah, I'm going to Boston. We're leaving in a few hours to go to Boston. I could have easily just flown to Boston and skipped the show. But I got a fucking commitment to the fans.
But one day they will make that portable technology so that we can do podcasts on the road.
If we only could figure out a way to get a podcast done on the road. Zach D'Amico's here as always, international superstar. What's up, kid?
How you doing, brother?
Very happy to have this guest in. It's been a while. We did this show with him one time back in the day. It was a Real Ass Podcast exclusive, or a rape show, as we called them. It was a short show. We did it from his studio, and now I'm happy to bring him down to the Gas Digital Studios. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a living legend. He's my very good friend. Anthony Cumia is in the studio.
Hi.
Yes, we are. Smoking a little smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
It's getting crazy today.
I see. Morning high. That's
get a little high with me, Anthony. Smoke a little smoke, honey, in the morning.
I can.
What else do you have to do today?
I would be useless.
You're already useless.
I know, but even
you play
more
video
so,
games and talk into microphones. You're supposed to be doing this.
Could you imagine how much more useless I would be? I wouldn't even have the energy to play video games.
I think you'd get better at all the things you currently do because you live your life like a pothead.
That is, I really do.
Yeah.
Except I don't smoke weed, but
you just
I don't
do
know.
All the things that fucking potheads do. You play video games. You fucking play radio with your friends.
You go to work at 4.
At 4? You're right. You really are absolutely right. I'm about a piece of shit.
Yeah, you're dressed up right now. This is your fucking big
this
media
is,
tour.
This is gussied up. I had plenty of laundry to go through, so I'm set.
Ah, shit.
Dude. Over the course of the weekend, I don't think I did much of anything. I played a lot of video games. There's a few good ones out now that I'm playing. But
what is your game now?
Battlefield 5 just came out, so I've been playing that. It's very interesting that Battlefield 1, when it came out maybe a couple of years ago, you couldn't alter your character. Like, you had to play multiplayer. You had to play whatever they gave you.
Yeah.
And it's very diverse.
Oh, really?
It is. It's very diverse. So you sometimes are playing as, like, an Asian girl in World War One. I don't know how historically accurate it is.
Of course.
But it's, I guess it's nice. It makes people feel good.
And you have to just, go against every instinct of yours to commit suicide.
No, they drown you in the first level.
They got to get the males up, so they drown. It's a very quick level. And then Battlefield 5, you're able to now choose your character and make the face and race and sex and all that kind of thing. And I'm noticing...
Just round out those eyes.
I'm noticing every single person I play against is a white dude.
Yeah.
Like, every single one of them.
Yeah. Well, if you could choose.
I think if you could choose, because it's the demo that plays the game for the most part. So whatever, but I make these little observations.
Of course you do. Anthony Cunha, we're very excited to have you in the studio today. We're going to get the plugs out of the way right off the top. Just get them out of the way. Obviously, you have your new book, which we're going to talk about in a second.
Ooh.
Permanently Suspended. When is it officially on sale?
November 20th. Coming up.
It's coming up, man.
Very soon.
What, 8 days, 7 days?
Yeah.
8 days. That's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. It's, you know, never thought at this point I would actually have a book that would be coming out.
Yeah.
It's all done. I signed a bunch of copies last night.
You got to sign my copy.
I'm signing the hell out of it.
I'll tell you where I'm at right now in it. Let's see. Look at, what a piece of shit I am. I just, the cover's already all mucked up.
That's what the cover's for.
I'm about halfway through.
Oh,
no,
nice.
Almost. I'm right here. I'm up. Let's see the last line. The last paragraph that I read. Let's see.
Uh-oh.
Well, we already set up. I'm sorry. Well, we already set up that you guys were going to deliver pies to the kids, Bruce and Dickless told us. So we said, look, we'll be more than glad to go to the hospital and deliver the pies and spend time with the kids. That said, if we see any press, we're going to punch them right in their fucking face. This is not for public consumption. I'm very into the book right now.
And what a cliffhanger, delivering pies to the kids.
Right?
This could go a lot of places.
It could go.
This is the origin story of Anthony Cumia's pedophilia. Got in there, he watched those kids eat that pie, and from that point he realized he had never had an erection.
You're
quite
not
so
literally
hard.
Delivering pies to the kids. It's a saying we used to have around the community. Oh yeah, we're delivering pies to the kids.
It is great, and I want to talk about it more real quick. Zach, plug what you got to plug real quick, and let's get into
Twitter,
this.
Instagram, Zach is not funny. Every Friday at midnight here on Gas Digital, Zach D'Amico's Midnight Spook Show, comics watching horror movies.
Fuck yeah, love it, dude. So funny. They basically what we did. Remember we did what was the Back to the Future?
Back to the Future.
We did that. So basically, Zach's show is awesome. He watches horror movies with comics and old campy ones, whatever it is, and then they just comment throughout it and talk shit and inspires conversations.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's been pretty fun so far, and we do it Fridays at midnight, and there's like no other podcast that goes for that.
You gotta do one. You gotta do
I
one.
I will
it's
absolutely.
Really silly.
I'm
What's
a huge
What's your favorite
fan
horror
of,
movie?
Horror movie? Now that wouldn't include sci-fi.
I'll
depends.
Put anything.
I think because you see aliens in those movies, sort of jump back and forth into both.
Aliens
those
just a haunted house movie in space.
Yeah, it pretty much is. Yeah, that's one of my. You know, the original Alien is fantastic, but I guess horror movie, the scariest one for me, and I don't know why people go like, that sucked or anything. It was The Ring. The Ring had the creepiest look to it. It wasn't necessarily like, wow, that's scary. Like, you couldn't describe it to someone and go, well, no, the lady in the picture, she started moving, and it would be like, oh, okay, you're...
Yeah, same thing with, what was the one where it was like, the whole thing that was scary about it was just, it was one of the found footage ones in the house.
Yeah.
Paranormal activity. Yeah.
And
what was scary about it was just... the mom standing above the bed and like kind of like twitching a little bit.
Anytime you get that weird thing where they're not bending the way they're supposed to for some
but
reason.
But how do you even
scary.
Write that as scary?
I know,
like the mom stands there creepily. You're like, what? That's what
creepily.
The whole fucking scene is.
Yeah.
I got a lot of stuff coming up right now, guys. I'm on tour. Louis J. Gomez presents. LouisJGomez.com is the website if you want to grab tickets. Infinite CBD has been fucking incredible. They've given me so much awesome fucking support on this tour. I love them. I really do. And you guys got to support Infinite CBD, so go check them out as well. If you're coming out on the tour, I have tons of samples. This shit's expensive, too. People don't realize when you give a free sample that you're giving them, like, $15 worth of CBD and a little fucking thing, and they're like, cool, free samples. This shit's fucking really,
dude, I gave my sister-in-law the topicals, the Freezing Point topicals, right? Loves it, and then she looked up online, and she was like...
It's like $50 for that little fucking
so
jar.
Much money.
It's expensive, but, so take advantage, get the samples. It really is a great, you know, it's great medicine. It can help you out, so let me tell you about some of these dates. Tonight, myself, Zach D'Amico, Kim Congdon, and Robbie the Fire Bernstein, all gonna be in Boston at Laugh Boston. This show's gonna be fucking awesome. I hope you guys are gonna come out and support us. If you guys are listening live, last minute, come the fuck out. Laugh Boston. We want to see you guys there. Then on Wednesday, I'll be at Governor's out on Long Island Brokerage. Anthony, you going to still come out? You got time to come out Wednesday night?
Absolutely.
Going to be dope. Love fucking Long Island fans. You guys, I love blue-collar fans. You guys laugh harder than anybody in the world. I was in fucking Miami. Not hating on Miami, but it's a fucking... it's pulling teeth down there. It's not the same type of thing. You go to fucking Tampa, they're just garbage people.
Right.
They're just like, yes, say something awful. I need to forget about my real awful life.
That's what you want, people that have to forget what their day is like.
Yes. Yeah. People in Miami, they're loving life. They're fucking dancing to salsa music. They got hot bodies, just gorgeous women everywhere. Yeah. You know, being Hispanic is like a good thing in that town.
Right.
You go to Tampa, you're Hispanic, you're hiding. Nobody likes you. Keep on going. This weekend as well, Thursday night, well, I'm looking at 50 Cent. 50 Cent will be doing something, apparently. Thanks, Shannon. I'll be in Seattle Thursday night at Laughs Comedy Club. Seattle Thursday night, one night only, and then I'll be in Washington, D.C. the next night. On Friday night, I'll be at the Improv. So make sure you guys are grabbing your tickets. And then I'm taking a week off for Thanksgiving, and I got Harvey's in Portland coming up on the 29th and 30th. And then I'm still waiting to announce San Francisco and Denver, which I should be doing by the end of the week.
Dude, you know, you're going back and forth across the country. Like, who's figuring out, like, can you do a couple of gigs in one place?
No one's figuring out. I did Chicago and Miami in the same weekend. For no reason.
Technically, you're doing Chicago, Miami, Boston in 3 days.
Yeah. It makes no sense. There's no rhyme or reason to
this
tour.
You're flying out to Washington with twice. With a stop in Washington, D.C. or Oregon, and then that's a lot of travel. That's a lot.
But you know what? This is why it's great to have Infinite CBD, because I can recklessly spend money like that.
Great.
Having them as a sponsor enables me to just do things that no other comics would do, which
isn't
is
great.
Like, I'm buying my Seattle tickets today.
Yeah.
I haven't bought my flight yet to Seattle.
Oh, it's going
to
be crazy expensive.
Well, how much is a flight to Seattle on Thursday, Shannon? Let's look it up. Round trip. I just flew today. I'm in anger management now, Anthony.
Yes, I do.
And I'm trying to be better. And traveling is one of my big triggers, right? So flying, this is a good test. I'm doing this tour, and I'm traveling so much for it. And today, this guy was just, I don't understand it. Like, first of all, I upgraded. I don't really upgrade too often. I've never flown. I flew first class one time, but it was a really short flight. So it wasn't even first class.
Yeah.
I was just in the front of the plane, right? Really small, shitty plane. Today, I was like, I'm going to upgrade to first class. I was like, I want to do that.
Cross country like that.
Fuck it. Let's do it. You know, 3.5 hour flight. Let me go do it. Right. Yeah. So I go to upgrade and there's no first class available. American Airlines, you have to be a club member to fucking do it before you get to the airport. It's a whole thing. So they still let me upgrade for $100 to like a main cabin seat with like 6 inches more leg room. So I say, fuck it. I'll do the little upgrade, whatever. It's really not nothing. It means I literally gave him $100 for almost nothing. Yeah. I handed them $100. It's fucking crazy.
I believe that Lewis really values legroom. Any car ride, Lewis, the person behind Lewis in the car is basically just in the back.
He's
back
gotta hatch. Extend that
I need
seat.
To, because my legs, when I have them bent like this, they start to just feel a little weird after a while. Yeah. I need to extend, stretch out a little bit. You know, I got to take my shoes off. I take my shoes off every flight.
Behind you has the same issue.
Tough shit. You should have been in
then
the
he should be headlining.
Yeah. Get in the position where you could be in the front of that fucking car.
This is the
car.
Thing I yell at myself in the mirror.
But so I've paid for the upgrade. And I don't know if, I guess the stewards and stewardesses, they don't fucking know this, you know.
No.
But still, I'm still in the fucking main cabin. You know I'm better than the people in the back, okay? So, and I get free drinks with this upgrade.
Oh, awesome.
And I'm not drinking on a 10 a.m. flight. I'm not Anthony Cumia.
I will always drink on a flight.
No matter what time it is?
No matter what time it is, because Bloody Marys are
good. There's no time in the air.
Yeah, yeah. And it's in the air, right? Relative to what?
Yeah.
The universe?
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows what time it is?
Well, look, I'm just as close to the fucking, to space right now. There's no time
right,
up there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it now. That makes sense. So I was like, hey, you know what? Let me get a Bloody Mary. So the guy, just very cold and callous, like, goes with the Bloody Mary. And already I'm going like, yeah, I spent $100 more. I've already spent a lot of money because I bought this ticket 2 days before I flew out, all right?
This is getting to you now.
So it's getting to me. It's like, oh, he's just not nice enough with it.
He did start this, oh, sky waitress.
They don't like that.
So I fucking, so he comes back and I'm like, I was like, actually, can I get another vodka? Because they're free. And at this point, I'm like, I don't want it. And he gives me a big can of Bloody Mary mix. So I'm like, I'm not going to keep on calling him over and over again. So he goes, yeah, I'll bring you when you're finished with that one.
What if I want it?
What if I want a double?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what
I
said.
What if I want a double? Or I want to keep pouring the mix in and, you know, keep
What if I
want to
shove
level.
It in my asshole on the fucking flight? I don't give a
you
shit.
You paid your $100.
Yeah. You're goddamn right. That's crazy. So now I'm like doing my breathing exercises and I'm going like, all right, don't fucking give this guy an attitude.
But dude, even you know not to make a scene on a fucking plane. You are going away. They don't even put up with that.
Oh,
that's the last bastion.
You've never seen someone lose their UFC hat on the plane.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez.
You've never seen an airport-wide tantrum because somebody forgot their UFC camo hat.
Uh-oh.
That's a great hat, doggy. It's a fucking solid hat. I don't got one. And if you're a fan of mine, you should send me one. What's the address, Shannon? They can send gifts? I want to be like a hot Instagram model and get fucking gifts all the time. Shannon, can you show your titties a little bit? Go to the Shannon cam for a second. Show Anthony the Shannon cam, which is great. This is what we make her do.
Oh, look at that.
These are falling boobs.
Yeah, they're falling titties.
I can give you the address real quick.
So what's the address for people to send gifts?
It's Gas Digital Studio, care of Real Ass Podcast, 151 First Avenue, number 311, New York, New York, 10003.
Goddamn right. Send me a UFC camouflage hat and yeah, you'll be pretty real ass. That's all you get. You get me. I'll say you're real ass.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, Anthony.
Fucking awesome.
So anyway, the guy gives me a fucking, and I was like, no, well, what if I want a double? And he goes, oh, and he kind of gives me an attitude again. And
you
I'm like,
son of a bitch.
So he brings me another one. And at this point, I knew that he gave me napkins, and I don't even know where they went, but he did give them to me. This like fell between the seat. So I was like, oh yeah, I need some napkins.
Oh, no.
And now he's like, he goes, I gave you like 5 napkins when I gave you the other one. And I'm like, I don't care. I want more napkins. And I, because at that point, like, fuck you, dude. This is fucking crazy to me.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I was like, you know, you got a real attitude problem.
Oh, no.
And I'm not losing my shit. I'm just saying, I was like, you're being very rude. You're acting like I'm being an inconvenience when I'm simply asking for things that I'm entitled to on this flight. Oh, I'm not telling you to go above and beyond for me. I'm not, you know.
Dude, 9/10/2001, that all washed. That was fine to do. You could call them fucking assholes. Yeah. But 9/11, because to this day, you asking for more napkins and another vodka or whatever the fuck it is exactly like charging the cockpit with a fucking box cutter.
Yeah. This story ends with Lewis sitting on the pilot's lap getting the little wing pendant.
Wings. And
they let me fly the plane.
It is the last like kingdom. Like the pilot and his minion are all the king and they're his knights and everything. You are just shit.
Yeah.
You can't say anything. You can't do anything. They have final say over anything. They can just arbitrarily go, yeah, this guy's a problem. Get off the plane.
Yeah.
And you won't have any recourse. It's
There's
amazing.
Nothing you can do. You cannot do anything.
It's
and
not a
they.
Democracy on a plane.
They. I saw something like in the airport. I don't even know what it said, but it said, if you don't do this, you'll be fined this. And I'm going like, by who? The cops? This is a fucking business. What do the cops even have to do with it? Why do they get to take the money?
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of, the whole thing is kind of fucking weird and crazy, and you get in line and you feel like you're a part of this like thing, and if you don't comply, you're in big trouble.
Yes.
And it's, I'm better, and this is going to sound shitty, but it's the truth. I'm better than almost everyone that works in that airport,
yeah,
including the fucking pilot. I don't know. What do you want me to say?
Wow, that's a bold statement.
I'm better than that pilot. I'm one of the best broadcasters in the world. He's not one of the best. If he was one of the best pilots in the world, he'd be flying
no
for the fucking...
No one's ever hijacked right. One of our podcasts and crashed into a building.
Exactly. Not
we are
happen.
Better than pilots.
You're goddamn right. Okay.
And in an emergency, you could actually talk down a civilian that is just flying the plane like that. Try talking someone through a show. Yeah. To host a show.
Not going
to
happen.
Suck.
It's going to be terrible.
Like, crash and burn.
What are you, Howard Stern?
Yeah.
Have somebody sending you jokes in an earpiece and on a screen? Look at that. Taking shots at Stern here today? We don't fuck around on the Real Ass Podcast.
Dude, that's so funny that you say, like, they're a business. What do the cops have to do with it? It reminds me of, that's how I feel about stop signs in parking lots.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in a parking lot of a business and there's a stop sign.
You're like, I'll run this fucking
stop sign. It's not like it's on the road. This is a business. It's owned
true.
By it's private property.
It is.
So I'll give it, you know.
Yeah.
I might look.
That is an interesting point.
But you could go through it. If a cop pulls you over, you're like, it's a fucking parking lot stop. What are you, private security for this company now?
So I didn't freak out. I sort of like took the...
You just insulted his manhood and career.
Oh, boy.
I just said, I was like, well, no, you're being rude. And, you know, and then he sort of huffed off and came back and gave me some napkins, a big stack, like passive aggressively, big thick fucking stack.
You want
napkins.
Some napkins, motherfucker?
Yeah. But then, as he's coming around to collect trash and stuff, he just hands me this vomit bag. Like, and we're landing. He's handing me a, and I'm like, what is this shit? And I feel it. It feels like a gun inside of it.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I open it up, and it's just two to-go Tito vodkas. It's not bad.
Dude.
So you kill him with kindness, you get some free vodka.
He...
Or he was being even more of a dick. One or the other, it doesn't matter. I got free vodka, though.
He liked it. He liked
being,
you.
Being smacked around a little bit.
They're not known for being the most masculine people, the male flight attendant.
Oh, this was a homosexual.
He might have really just dug you.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I like that fucking guy.
He was like,
guy.
I think he might actually shove this in his ass.
Dude, you almost mile high clubbed.
Yeah.
I have mile high clubbed. Have you, Anthony?
No.
You never fucked on a plane?
Never.
Dude, I can't fit in those bathrooms by myself.
I know. You got to buy two seats.
The only time I even had the opportunity, I was flying to Hawaii with a bitch I couldn't fucking stand anyway.
Oh, this is honeymoon.
That would have been true.
I feel like, Zach, anytime you sit on a toilet, you sort of fuck your own thighs and stomach.
Oh, interesting.
It's like pointing up in between the fed.
I hate that you think about it.
Yeah. It creates a whole, like, mushy thought. Fucking...
Yeah,
anyway.
Mushy vagina.
Anthony, the book is very good, and I'm not just kissing your ass here.
Oh, thank
I would
you.
If I didn't like it, I would have pretended that I didn't start reading it.
I know. I'm very afraid of that, and I really do take your word, and there are a few other people that have read the book, and I really do take their opinion to heart, because I didn't want it... Oh, the worst thing would just be, oh, this sucks. I wanted it to sound like me.
It does.
Like me talking.
It does. It was hard at first. The first like few pages, it is difficult to read it in your, hear it in your voice. It's bizarre. Cause I don't know if I've ever read any, I mean, I've read Bonnie's book and I did read it in her voice.
In Bonnie's voice?
Imagine Judah's,
Rich's book. You would fucking read it in his voice and
oh my
you would
God.
Just be soaked when you're
know,
done with it. You're reading aloud.
You can't open the pages anymore. But it was difficult to sort of adapt to that. How much of this did you write, and how much of it did you tell the stories to the gentleman who helped you
write
it?
It's like half and half.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Did they have you actually drafting shit, and you were actually sitting at home fucking...
I punched it up, you know? I gave it, like, I went through everything and said...
It made it more your voice.
This I would say like this. I wouldn't talk like that. I wouldn't say that.
Right.
Yeah, things like that. But I think it came out pretty good as far as... sounding like me, and it's honest, you know, it's there's no bullshit in it.
Yeah,
it's there's some fucked up stuff and some a lot of funny stuff.
It's cool.
And the Opie and Anthony years are ripped
well,
apart.
Well, that's where I'm
well.
At right now is right where you and Opie have gotten together. You guys are just getting the offer to go to New York, from Boston, and it's like it's very cool because it's just this sort of like
I love that your radio career is the last great thing that came from blackface.
And now it's just such a...
Yeah, but you really got that last mile out of it. Yeah. An entire radio career out of one music video.
One OJ video.
Yeah. Down, was it...
awesome.
They're going to electric shock
electric
OJ.
Electric shock OJ.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't.
Yeah.
In hindsight.
Well, you tell that story.
Yeah.
And you tell the story about how you... It was. I literally just read the line about how your brother was pissed off that you were leaving the band.
Yeah.
You left Rock Cut.
I left my band. And
it was like, you're not going to go anywhere with this.
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious.
We fucking around with radio. We got something going here. The band, man. Like, oh, God.
You try taking on People's Court?
Yeah. He'll do that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but, you know, again, in hindsight, I think he realizes
of course.
It was the right move to make. Yeah.
What is something that somebody, because, you know, obviously you don't want to spoil the whole book, and I'm going to read the whole thing, and I'm really excited about reading more of it. What's something that people wouldn't know that they would find out from this book? Like something that they wouldn't know, because there's things that I didn't know, but I wasn't a fucking fanboy.
Yeah.
I'm not a fag. I'm not sitting there fucking sucking Anthony
Cumia's
dick.
Much to the
dick.
Chagrin of the flight attendant.
Yeah, he really wanted me to be. But, you know, like I didn't grow up, even when I was like growing up listening to radio, like Stern and K-Rock and... It never was like the same type of like fanatical attitude that some people have. Like,
right.
I never had an opinion on the other hosts on Stern. I never like, oh, I like Robin, but I don't like Jackie. I never thought of it that much. It was very much just entertainment on in the car. And I think that's how most people sort of, you know, consumed radio. But people got very fanatical
guys.
But what's something that, you know, people wouldn't know that they're going to find out from the book?
I think a lot about, although I have talked about it on the air, it's really difficult because when you write a book, if you've been on the air, you expose pretty much everything in your life. Those slow news days just add up to you opening up everything and throwing it out there.
Yeah, of course.
So if you're a fanatical fan, there's still a couple of things in there about relationships and things that had happened over the course of the years, early on in my teen years and stuff, yeah, that I think people would find pretty interesting.
The story of you losing your virginity was great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was all set up by my pops.
I know. It's so weird and fucking such a different time.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Parents just don't do that now.
That was fine, I guess, back in the day. Although people would say it wasn't.
Right.
But I think it did. It got it out of the way. For a guy, I think the whole sex thing and losing your virginity, you got to get that shit out of the way so you could just concentrate on other stuff in your life. For a girl, I understand it's more important. They need to fucking, you know, ugh.
I was romantic with mine. I wanted the right girl. I remember I dated a girl in like maybe in the ninth grade. She might have been in the eighth grade. We were young. And she was the first girl that I ever like really fucked around with. Asian girl. And big fucking fat titties. Huge titties.
What Asians are known for.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And I used to eat her out all the time, and I wouldn't let her suck my dick because I was like, I thought that was a slutty act, and I didn't want my girlfriend to have a dick in her mouth.
You're like a fucking, like, old-time mobsters.
I was like,
They would let their guma do that, but not the mother of their children.
But I never had my dick. All I wanted this girl was to suck my dick. Like, every bit of me was going like, you know, this girl needs to suck your dick right now. But just something in my head, I was like, I didn't want my girlfriend to ever have a dick in her mouth at that time. It's fucking crazy. Now all I want to do is shove my dick in my girlfriend's mouth. Anytime she opens her mouth.
Not even your girlfriend, just any girl.
Yeah,
just
any guy.
Find a girl.
Let's get crazy.
Shove your dick in her mouth. That's an interesting thing. You want that purity or something. Yeah,
I really did. I was a weird romantic. And I think it's because my mom was such a pig that I was like, that's what it was. I think that I wanted kind of strive for the opposite of what I had.
Yeah.
Because I had such a fucked up like upbringing. So yeah, my mom was just like, I'm sure, riddled with dicks in her mouth.
Oh my God.
I mean, I can imagine.
You don't
want to
think of that.
Well, Anthony.
You don't want to, I don't know. You know, things happen and stuff.
Doggy, I walked in on my mom with a John when I was like six, five.
Your mom was hooking.
Yeah, and I knew what it was. I knew there was no way she was fucking this old man for pleasure.
Yeah.
Like, I really, like...
She was holding the cash in her hand.
Yeah. Did you rationalize it by saying, like, well, it's, you know, to feed the kids. She's doing everything she needs to do.
No, not really. I sort of blocked it from my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And
but, like, she could have gotten a fucking secretarial job.
Yeah, she could have just done anything else but suck old man's dicks. Jesus Christ. You know, I've made my peace with it, though, obviously. I'm not in anger management or anything.
No.
One of the cool things I like about the book as well is you get into the moment you went to Opie's house, the first time you met him outside of the radio station on Long Island, and the moment where you were like, it wasn't a shitty house. He was just kind of, it was a shittier house. It just wasn't as nice as you thought it was going to be.
Yep.
And that almost like shock of reality of like, wait a minute, it's not exactly, you're not going to be fucking rich overnight with this thing, even if you are somewhat successful with it.
Yeah.
I've had a few moments like that where I meet comedians and you go to their house and you go like, dude, like, aren't you a fucking multimillionaire?
Yeah, yeah.
How are you living in this?
That was it. I had this misconception that if you were on the radio, you were rich. It didn't matter if you were in market 200 doing the overnights.
Yeah.
If your voice was coming out of a radio, you had no problems in your life. Yeah. You were set financially. And then I realized, you know, by going over Opie's, he was renting a place in East Northport, Long Island.
Yeah.
And I saw that house. And even then, it's in the book, I was saying, like, what is, maybe it's his summer house? Like, I couldn't, I was trying to rationalize it. Like, wait a minute.
Because
if
you're under
rich,
him.
Yeah. Right. If he wasn't rich, I'm really fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. But the whole story is great, and I think it's really cool. And I think it also shows a side of you that, you know, you're known as like this shock jock, or you're known as this guy who's like notorious for just always saying kind of like fucked up or off color things.
Right.
But the reality is, you know, there's a lot of there's a lot more human side to you that you don't really. It gets lost in all the jokes.
Everything
gets lost in like sort of like the image of what people kind of, you know, project onto you. And I think it's a really cool version of kind of who you are and to see that story. So I'm excited to read the rest of it. I won't suck your dick and make it a normal
please.
Interview like that the rest of the year. We'll do a normal show, but I wanted to highlight the book a little bit because I do think it is super interesting.
That's awesome. Thank you, man. Yeah, I think a lot of people see things in there that, you know, maybe they didn't know from the radio. Yeah. The radio is such a weird thing. It's a few hours a day, whether it was 4 hours when we were at Sirius XM or 2 hours now or whatever it is. But it's a very limited time of your day that you're actually on the air.
Yeah.
And when you are, you're this kind of magnified version of who you really are. It's not you're not being phony, but you couldn't possibly be like this 24 hours a day.
You're being, look, it's our job to entertain. So people say this about me. They're like, Louis, you're fucking crazy. You always get into fights with taxi drivers. I'm like, well, you know, that's what I'm bringing to the show. Like if I get into an argument with a taxi driver or something, like,
yeah,
I know that's going to be fodder for the show. So you're sort of getting that. So
right.
It's not really funny for me to sit there and go, well, I read to my son again last night, everyone, just so you know. I mean, but you know, but I do that as well. There's another side to me.
Unless we have two female guests, then he is definitely mentioning the fact that he read to his son the night before.
Oh,
what?
Then they get the awes and they love it. And
what? What are you talking about, Zach?
you are a very doting father.
Who knows what's going to happen with me and Kim? Sometimes you got to get those seats a little wet.
Oh, shit.
Keep them fucking ready.
You
got to
have a few in the magazine.
Yeah,
you
doggy.
Know?
Come on, man. I'm reading Anthony Cumia's book. If I would have just fucking not keep a couple chairs wet, make some mistakes.
Oh, I'm the worst.
Come on. He was married at 30 like a fool.
I'm terrible. You read some of the stuff in there about cheating and everything. I'm horrible.
It's hard. It's hard to not. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everybody has in there. I defy one guy to say he's never cheated.
Yeah. No, I don't know anybody. I don't know.
I don't know anybody.
I don't know anybody.
Anybody.
No, that's never cheated.
Never.
That has never cheated. I don't think I know a single man in the world.
Yeah.
And any man who's saying that is trying to rape you, ladies. Yeah, run from that man. If he's saying he's never cheated, he's definitely
the worst.
Hardcore rapist.
Right. Don't go out with him.
Yeah, do not trust
him. He's either a liar or a sociopath.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, let's take a moment and talk about one of our brand new sponsors in the show, which is Ridge Wallet. Anthony, I don't know if you've ever fucked with a Ridge Wallet.
No, I haven't.
It's changing the game, Dougie.
It is, right?
It's changing my perspective on what a wallet even is. I didn't realize how much I hated a wallet.
They suck.
They're not good. Okay. Nice. And my problem is I'm kind of a messy guy. You see by the cover, your book is all crinkled up because I had it for 2 days. That's it. That's the way that I live my life. So my wallet is just full of receipts, business cards, stupid shit that I just don't need. It just kind of clutters me up.
Terrible.
And you take your wallet out and you don't even realize how much it annoys you that you have it all cluttered up and shitty like that until you get a Ridge Wallet. And this is my Ridge Wallet. This is it right here.
Oh, man.
This is it. It's this little tiny.
An invention for the large-thighed man.
Yes, it is. It's a front pocket wallet, okay? You put your cards right in it. You slide them right in. You pop them out just like that. Nice and simple, okay? Money clip right there, so you could fold your money, put it right there. Nice and sleek. Nice and simple. Feel that. It's like, I feel like every time I pull out my credit card, I feel like a fucking ninja.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable.
It's cold. The carbon fiber is really awesome.
Yeah, it's carbon fiber. Yes, it is. Look at Anthony. The old Long Island carpentry days are really kick it in right now.
That's great.
It's very slick. It's two metal plates that are bound together by a durable elastic band. It looks nothing like a traditional wallet. They have them in titanium, carbon fiber, and aluminum options. I love it. It's just really cool. It feels very classy. I think this is the perfect gift for husband, boyfriend, uncle, father, whatever it is. I don't even think people... I didn't realize how much I hated my wallet until I had this.
And it's now, like you're sitting on a rock.
Yes.
That's it. Let me put a rock in my pocket walk around all day.
It's bizarre. It's super slim. It has RFID blocking and a lifetime guarantee. So this means it's the last wallet you're ever going to buy in your entire life.
And crooks can't read your credit card.
Exactly. Awesome. Exactly. So here's the deal. Okay. You get 10% off today. If you guys go to ridgewallet.com/rap, that's RIDGEWALLET.com/RAP, or use that promo code RAP. The link is in the description. Go grab this. This is the perfect holiday gift right now. If you want something that... I'm telling you right now, every guy that tries a Ridge Wallet is going to love you. They're going to thank you for this. So this is the gift to get for the holiday season. I think you guys are going to really, really love it. So check it out. Once again, that's ridgewallet.com/wrap. Use the promo code RAP if you make any purchase for 10% off. All right, what were we talking about? What did you think of this? Pete Davidson, I'm sure you talked about it on your show.
Yeah.
Took the shot at Dan Crenshaw, who is a... is running for something, some sort of fucking public office.
He won
Florida.
He won. Yeah, he won his.
Is it election. Florida? Florida governor, maybe?
No, he was running for.
Let me guess. Hold on. Let's guess the news. Never mind. Forget it. I was going to try to guess.
Oh.
I would have never guessed running for the House. I thought the House of Representatives was something you're a part of if you're like a different thing, like a senator or like a. You could run to be a House representative.
No. If you're. You could become a representative.
What
of the
is
House.
He?
He's a representative in the House.
He sounds like a rapper.
A congressman.
Yeah.
Senate is the whole other different story.
Sure. It's a bunch of boring horse shit. That's
all
I
based
say.
On Rome. Who
Whatever.
Cares?
Right. Whatevs. Hopefully. That's what I say. Yeah, this guy, like however, apparently he's like a war hero or something along those lines. Yeah. Navy SEAL. And
lost an eye.
Lost an eye in combat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Pete Davidson... made a joke on SNL a couple weeks ago, and it wasn't even necessarily a real joke. He just sort of said, the joke he said was he looks more like a villain in a porno.
He looks like a Bond villain in a porno or
something
some
like
kind
that.
Of a, yeah, something like that.
And then he said, so I guess you're not supposed to make fun of the eye because, you know, he lost it in war. And
he,
then
said,
he said, whatever.
I guess he lost his eye in a war or whatever. Now, my take on it was... Pete Davidson, and I'm not a fan of Pete Davidson, but I think he was just showing how, like, people his age are kind of stupid. Like,
I think
he's
playing into the character, like, I walked into war, whatever.
Yeah, because everybody else is going like, ooh, that's an insensitive thing to say, because he purposely said something
insensitive. That's the joke.
So it wasn't against him.
Yeah.
It's against the person saying it because you kind of seem insensitive and stupid.
Of course. And look, here's the thing. Me and you would be hypocrites, and you know, we would all be hypocrites to sit here and go, how dare you make a joke?
Oh, I know.
An off-color joke. I would never, you know, I find it very surprising that SNL would allow it to go there. It's because he's, you know, a right-wing guy, and, you know, it's such a politicized show at this point they don't really, you know, they don't really care. But once again, I don't care. Like, I don't really give a fuck at all. There's no part of me that's going like, oh my God, Pete Davidson. But I thought this was kind of interesting. So apparently, you know, people were sort of making an uproar about it. And this past week on SNL, they invited Dan Crenshaw. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Actually invited him onto the show. And I thought this was kind of interesting. So here, play. I think this is actually CNN's little, like, editing together of everything that happens. You could play this whole thing if you'd like. Pete really looks like... He looks like the lead singer from the Cranberries.
Decorated war hero and Texas congressional candidate Dan Crenshaw says he doesn't need an apology from Saturday Night Live comic Pete Davidson.
Yeah, this is frozen up. Maybe, there we go.
Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw, everyone. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for making a Republican look good.
Davidson came under fire for mocking him, who lost his right eye in 2002 while serving as a Navy SEAL in Iraq.
This guy's kind of cool. Dan Crenshaw.
Oh, come on, man.
Yo, hold on. You may be surprised to hear he's a congressional candidate from Texas and not a hitman in a porno movie.
You know, my message to Hollywood, my message to sports is just allow people to take a break from politics. Please don't politicize your comedy. In a way that is just mean-spirited.
Let's pause that for a second. I thought that was a really interesting point where it's like, yeah, dude, sports and comedy and movies and everything, it's supposed to be a break from, you know, this. I mean, we have the news for that reason. You should be able to tap in and tap out to different things. And I think sports specifically is the big one that stands out to me. I'm going like, guys.
There shouldn't be anything political.
Like, I want to watch these big fucking scary muscular men throw a ball through a hoop. Do it.
Yeah.
You know, like it's an escape from what everything that's going on in the world.
Exactly.
And it seems that it's become a marketing angle for, you know, everything, you know, straight up to like companies like Nike who makes, you know, political decisions by, you know, you know, in a lot of ways, a lot of companies are doing it. They start to, they buy ads during the Super Bowl, and the ads are becoming a little more political and a little bit more geared toward one yep. group of people. And it's just, it's tiring. It's actually not as, it's not as entertaining. Like SNL, yeah. when they're not talking about politics, it's funnier. Like the skits that have nothing to do with politics are substantially funnier than the ones that have to do with politics. So, you know, I almost feel like that point that he made, which is like, yeah, like let's just fucking take a break. Entertainment's supposed to be a break from it, was sort of a great astute point.
People are burnt out on it mm-hmm. at this point. Like, because I know I have to know a lot of what's going on just for the show.
Yeah.
Just for the show.
Well, you do a political show.
And I kind of like the idea of talking politics, but in a, you know, in a fun way.
Of course.
Goof on it more than
anything.
It's very,
well, I did the show. It's funny because I did the show the day at your show last week, the day after the election.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just didn't go into it at all.
No, no.
We ended up having a very silly conversation about Red Dead Redemption and fucking,
yeah, it was...
you know, what's his name? Getting fucked in the ass in hell.
oh, yeah. Dennis Hoff.
Getting fucking,
on the Bunny Ranch, getting fucked in.
Dude, hell. I mean, it was such a funny show. That was one of the funniest shows I've been a part of. You know,
we don't have to talk about just because it's in the news. You don't have. And after a big event, especially like the election, that it was built up for months, like a year. It was like nothing but the midterm elections, and then it happens, and I'd get home and just go, turn the fucking news off.
Yeah.
I don't even want to see it. I'm done with it. I think we're really getting burnt out. Yeah. Because every day it's something else. Now it's the Florida ballads and Broward County. And
I also feel like a mark. I feel like when I'm letting the news dictate what I'm talking and thinking about, then I go like, well, I'm not really an influencer or a creator. I'm letting I have a no fucking Trump role on this show. We don't talk. That's the producers. They come with a bunch of ideas every single day we do the show. We're not allowed to talk politics on the show.
Yeah.
Because, well, number one, I don't really fuck. I'm like 99% of the people. I don't know shit about it.
Exactly.
So when I start talking about it, it becomes very apparent very quickly that I don't know shit about it. And then it just sort of becomes like, it allows you to avoid being funny and silly. And I think the sillier shit is kind of what people really like.
Oh, yeah. Know? Absolutely. When I do talk politics, it's more my own point of view on just life in general. Like, I don't like getting into the names and the offices and things like that, but I do like talking about freedom of speech and the Second Amendment and rights to privacy.
Yeah.
Things like that I like talking about because those are things that I'm interested in and I think are very valuable to people. But I don't like watching a show like a Fox News opinion show or CNBC, MSNBC or anything like that. So that's the only reason I really get into the political end of it is just to talk about shit that I think is pretty important to myself. I'm selfish.
Finish this video because I want to show what happens here with Dan Crenshaw on SNL. So yeah, they basically gave Dan Crenshaw an opportunity to sort of roast them back.
This is Pete Davidson. He looks like if the meth from Breaking Bad was a person.
Not bad. So not bad. There, we're even. All right.
Hold on. Well, one more. Just...
All right. All right.
He looks like a troll doll with a tapeworm. But seriously, there's a lot of lessons to learn here. Not just that the left and right can still agree on some things, but also this, Americans can forgive one another. We can remember what brings us together as a country and still see the good in each other.
If they were funny, they would have
it's
cut
it. It's amazing he can see anything from the right.
Ah, that's great. It's got a patch over that eye. That's hilarious.
Z-Z-Z-Zack
attack. I love it.
Pew, pew. So I thought it was cool to fucking end it with that.
Absolutely.
You know, and it was a mature... That's what we should be striving to fucking do. We should be looking to always come up with solutions, right? If we want to, whatever it is, but I don't give a fuck. This isn't about politics or social issues or anything. This is about if I want to fucking, you know, if me and you want to, you know, come together and do something, if we both of us really want to, just in general, we can fucking make something happen,
exactly.
Right? So that should be the goal with everybody is like, let's actually move the ball down the court instead of fighting about our differences. Let's just, you know, figure out what we can do to kind of make shit happen. I deal with that every single day here at Gas Digital. I mean, we have a team of producers and hosts on these shows, and we have to come together with multiple personalities at the same time and create, and everybody has to move, you know. So if there's any egos or if there's any, and this is This is the, you're looking at a country that's fucking like divided. Everyone's doing this shit, right? But think about work. If you and somebody you work with every day went into work and every day we're like, yeah, fuck you, dude. I don't agree with you. Fuck that. I'm not doing that. You would turn and you wouldn't communicate with each other. That business would fail.
Nothing's going to get done.
And that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what's happening right now in this country. That's what's happening right now with just people in general. And yeah, I think it's fucking, I don't know. I when you actually deal with people on more of a personal level and you go out and you actually have conversations with people, nobody's really living their lives that way. So I want to talk about a couple more things. This is kind of interesting.
More importantly, that guy can rock a fucking eye patch, though.
Yeah, he's hot.
That's like, usually an eye patch, you're like, oh, poor guy. But you're like, fuck, that guy looks cool. Again, with video games, like, if that was an option, you would use it.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, God, that guy looks badass.
I would he looks like he can lift the patch and open up a bottle with it.
Yeah. And I like it. He's got it, like, cut out for his cheekbone.
Well, he's got a cool eye patch. Can we get
it? It's a cool fucking eye patch.
Well, I said this to Bisping because we do the show, and, you know, they asked him to wear an eye patch on one of the shows he was on, like one of the TV shows, and he was offended. He was like, I'm not wearing a fucking eye patch. And I was like, dude, do you know how cool eye patches are? I was like, I think it's lost on him how awesome eye patches are.
They're,
I remember when I was a kid, there was Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
There was a guy on Days of Our Lives that my mom, my aunt, my grandma, they all wanted to suck this guy's cock off his body.
The guy his name was Patch. His name was Patch.
His name was fucking Patch. They didn't even hide it. They're like, this nigga's name is Patch.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Pull up Patch on Days of Our Lives.
I remember that shit.
Yeah. Look at him.
Look at Patch.
He actually looks like fucking Dan Crenshaw. Holy shit.
He does. Dan Crenshaw is Patch.
And
dude, that's hilarious. Every day he had to work all day with that on his
eye. And I'm assuming he didn't need it.
No,
he probably was an angle on the show. He's like, really, for the next 5 years I gotta fucking wear an eye patch?
Wow, that is, it's like his older brother or something.
Dan Crenshaw's patch looks pretty dope. But I was like Bisping, you should get a fucking like a deal with like a patch company that makes high-end like, you know, custom patches. I bet you there's a company out there that fucking has dope-ass eye patches.
The Shark Tank people would be like, how big is your base here?
Yeah, they really would be.
You need people that have lost an eye, that still want to be cool.
Here's the thing. You can add a couple extra zeros to the end, and they won't even notice.
That is true.
That's true.
Yeah.
What is this an eye patch? It's a cool eye patch company?
Oh, there, look.
Well, those
aren't a little big.
That's a bit much.
Oh, there you go. It's a little.
Those are kind of badass. A woman with an eye patch, there's nothing sexy about it. It'll never be sexy.
No, that's not sexy.
No.
Sorry.
But depending on what's under it.
Flip it up and shove my dick in there.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
A woman with an eye patch isn't going to work. No. I could deal with a woman with one leg, one arm, but just think about that fucking eye.
One arm or one leg?
Oh, is that Kim Basinger in Kill Bill? Yeah, she was kind of hot.
Well, not Kim Basinger. That's, what's her name from Splash? Daryl Hannah.
Oh, yeah. I used to always get those bitches confused.
Who just hooked up with Neil Young.
That's such a great scene in Kill Bill 2.
Oh,
where they take out her other eye.
She plucks out her other
fucking
eye.
Dude, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's such a badass. And then she just leaves her.
Yeah.
Screaming, fucking, looking for her eye on the floor with
no
eyes.
I love that Uma Thurman's come out and said that she's been was abused on that set, like pushed. Like, because she got injured in that car accident.
Oh, yeah, the car accident.
And literally everyone did the math and went, it's a really good movie, though.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Everyone did the math. It's like, yeah, probably worth it.
You're not getting any sympathy here. Because
nobody's looking at Shelley Duvall going, oh, he was so mean to you. Sorry, Shining.
It took a little while to get comfortable with Kill Bill because Pulp Fiction was so fucking good.
And
Jackie Brown is another one that's a really good movie.
And the martial arts sucks in Kill Bill. So the actual karate isn't good or any of the martial arts in it is fucking horrible. It's, they have Uma Thurman being terrible with a sword, but it's just so good.
It's just good, man. The whole story, the characters are great. They're all psychotic. It's great. But any Tarantino movie took a little while because Pulp Fiction was just like...
Perfect.
The perfect go-to movie every time. And then... Jackie Brown was like, it's not Pulp Fiction.
I don't even know if I ever saw Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown's pretty fucking good.
It's very good, but it's not Pulp Fiction.
It's not Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Kill Bill was great. He's great, too. Is he working on a
fucking Western?
Is he working on anything now?
Oh, yeah. He's doing
the Sharon Tate movie.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
DiCaprio is in it and fucking Brad Pitt. And
by the way, not only did he injure Uma Thurman in a car accident, the next movie he made was about a guy who kills ladies in car accidents.
Yeah. Yeah, the grindhouse shit he did.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which is straight up
Robert Rodriguez.
It was like almost taunting.
Yeah. Sue me.
And Harvey put it all away.
Yeah.
Harvey made it all right.
Good old Harvey Miramax Weinstein.
All right. We're going to Boston after the show today, and we rented our car with autoslash.com. Anthony, do you rent a lot or no?
No, I don't. But if I do, I know I want a good vehicle for a low price.
That's the idea, right?
Yeah.
Right. And you know, here's the thing about this is almost the same thing with hotels. You see this happen with airline tickets. Car rentals as well. If you ever rent cars, the rates jump around. Dude, 1 minute, it's one price. The next minute, it goes up. Next minute, it goes down. There's not much consistency.
No rhyme or reason.
Yeah, car rental prices. So what AutoSlash does is they search all of the major rental companies like Avis, Hertz, and Thrifty for the best deals available at any given time. Not only that, they search for hundreds of coupons and discount codes for all of the major rental companies to get you the lowest rate. And they also apply discounts on your membership affiliates such as AAA and Costco, applying everything, doing all the math. It's like your own personal assistant just for car rentals that will do all the math for you and find you the absolute best rate possible. And then, let's say after you book it, your rate drops. Guess what? They allow you to rebook it because they keep on tracking the best rate possible. So you are saving on average 30% or more using AutoSlash. That's what the customers of AutoSlash save. And it's free. There's no service fee attached to AutoSlash. So this is just a free service. You are just saving money, okay? This is one of the coolest services, especially this holiday season where everyone's traveling for Thanksgiving or traveling for Christmas. This is an amazing service. Why give away your money to Avis, Hertz, or any of these other major car rental companies? Save that money for your kids. Save that money for your family. Why give away money at any given point? Autoslash.com is the website. Just make sure you use autoslash.com. The Real Ass Podcast uses it. Gas Digital uses it. All the people here at Gas Digital have been using it, and we fucking love it. I'll be posting some pictures later on today from the car, our dope-ass SUV that we're renting for a fraction of the cost that we would have paid if we would have went to any other company. So once again, that's autoslash.com. Enjoy your holiday traveling, and let's get back into the show. So I haven't paid any attention to the California hellfires.
Oh, geez.
That are going on right now. What is going on with this? Is the world burning? Are it's we
God,
dying?
God punishing California?
Why?
Well, because they're degenerates out they there, are. And yeah,
they live a very
satanic life.
Yeah,
it's a lot of pedophilia and sloth. Human sacrifice,
sloth like. Is there, what is it? Is no? What's the
The seven deadly
the
seven sins?
Is it sloth? Is the deadly
sloth
sin?
Sloth is like you just hang out.
You just fucking and consume.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but the consuming one is.
That's a different one.
Yeah.
What are the seven deadly sins?
I'm literally going through the movie Seven in my head.
That's the only way we remember them is the movie Seven.
And I'm trying to remember what the big fat guy was. Thing.
Also, you commit four at any given moment, Zach.
There's greed, I guess, lust.
Greed, lust.
Greed, lust, gluttony, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride.
Envy and pride.
Okay.
Wrath.
Yeah. Sounds like you're describing California.
Yeah, yeah. They're just sinners and they
so it's God burning. There was a video that out. Rogan tweeted of a woman driving her car, like trying to get out of California.
But she's praying to God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Dog.
It's crazy.
It's scary. I would be afraid.
And then all of a sudden it's just. Oh, I'm just on a road now. It's just hell. It was a quarter mile behind.
Pull that video up.
It's crazy.
I don't have any understanding of like, because we're not there at all. Like, I would have no like. If you're telling me there's fires in the hills, I'm like, yeah, okay, suck my dick. Give me a cup of water, bitch. I'm moving for fires. Okay.
Yeah.
But this is some scary shit where you're like, you know, how hot does the car get? Like, is your car like starting? Are your tires starting to melt?
Dude, it.
What would you do if your car just stopped in the middle of it? What would you do?
You would die. Like people
You'd
are.
You burn to death.
They have a lot of dead people there.
How many people have died?
30 something, I think, at this point. Maybe 31.
It is hard when you live in New York City during 9/11. These numbers just
they're just not that big.
Drop in the bucket.
It's
let's see the footage of this woman driving through the hellfires of California.
Please God. Oh my God. Oh my God, please leave the horses there.
Oh, you're safe in the tunnel.
God, please.
Nothing bad could happen in a tunnel. Okay, whew. Seems pretty cool in here now. All right.
It's good. You know what? And then she doesn't know what she's gonna pop out into.
Thank God.
She was driving toward the fire. What's wrong with her?
Yeah.
Oh shit! Oh my God, it's like fucking.
Look at this.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It literally looks like she's driving through hell.
Oh my
What are you doing?
Also, I'd be like saving my cell phone battery. Like, I'd be afraid. I would be videotaping this.
Oh my God, please let me out of here. Please, God.
Look at the flames just hitting the car like
yeah,
from.
Yeah, the embers are just like.
Oh my god! I gotta get this person their pizza on time.
Holy!
This reminds me of my mother's bed.
Do you put your wipers on for flaming fucking?
Yeah, I don't know what you do.
Hail! Yeah. Some biblical shit right there.
Just hit the washer, the windshield fluid.
Yeah, there you go. Keep hitting the wiper fluid.
That's what I would do. Cool
Put
the car
it out.
Down.
Cool
do
it down.
You think she has the AC on?
Yeah, I guess what could happen is you just suffocate.
Is like, that what happens?
No
is the smoke? Well, I would rather suffocate
and then
than
you,
burn
you
to
pass
death.
Pass out and then you burn up. What is she doing? Where is she going?
Trying to parallel park. This bitch is dead. She's in trouble.
Trying to make a 3-point turn. God damn.
By the way, any guy would have avoided driving into this fire. It's just a woman.
Of course. You just don't even end up in this situation.
Yeah. She's trying to beep at the fire.
Move, fire, move. Get out of the way, icky fire. Excuse me, do you know what time it is with the beeping? I'm trying to sleep. She's beeping her horn.
It's not a fucking deer, you twit.
She is just panicky.
Pardon me, Hellfire. Do you have any grape upon?
Now
that is
she's
scary,
in heaven.
Though.
Look, she died and
she's
in
dead.
Heaven.
We just
There's
watched
the light.
Passing.
She's taking a selfie with the light.
Get out, please. Fuck! Fuck!
Wait, did who get out?
This is like movie shit right here.
Fuck!
Did
Wait, did who
it?
Get out? Was it her dog? Did she mention something about her dog earlier in the video? Do a little research on that. Find out about why this woman's freaking out about who didn't get out. Because now it's way more of a scary video. Somebody was left in there?
Yeah.
And then she only realized after she got out?
There was some guy who drove back to his car, in another car, I gather, that he escaped from and ran away. But there were like 5 other cars around him. And he's taking video and he's going, look. They all died. And there's skeletons sitting. Burnt skeletons.
No.
Yes.
Does it live?
Sitting
Let's go.
In the seats. And he's just talking like, yeah, we tried to get her out, but she wanted to put her makeup on. She died for
Good
that.
Good for that, bitch.
And it's like a skeleton with fucking mascara, big eyelashes. But yeah, they were just dead in the car. Skeletons.
Wow.
People
This would be a moment
alive.
Where you would pull up the scene from Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Right.
With the woman exploding against the gate.
Oh, yeah.
And we could have pretended that was...
That's what it looks like.
God, I wish I was the producer in the booth. I'd fucking crush it. If I had 10 of me in my life, I mean, first of all, we'd have a gang. And we would we would take over this fucking city. Violently.
Would the whole gang be in anger management?
No. We would have one or two of them that would go as a front. But the rest of us, we'd have to use that anger to do some damage, Anthony.
The gang has to be angry.
Of course. You're not going to get anything done in a gang if you're not angry. No. So these people are you know, fucking, I guess they're dying. It's a real thing. I'm very not aware of how serious it is. But now you hear about celebrities like losing their homes. Miley Cyrus, I guess, was one of them.
Mm. Yeah.
People, their houses are burning down
the
in Malibu.
The guy, what's his name, from 300?
Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
He lost his
I know
house.
Rogan had to be evacuated. There's a bunch of people had to be evacuated as well. Chuck Liddell, a couple of UFC guys.
Yeah.
So it's a weird, scary thing. But in a weird way, I just don't, when I hear that Miley Cyrus's home is burnt down, you know, I'm not like.
Not freaking out?
It's the equivalent of me losing a $20 bill.
Oh, shit.
That's the equivalent. What do you want me to say? Like, I'm sure she had
devastating.
It'll change her life.
It's 20.
Dear God, I'm going back in. Dear God, it's $20. I need it.
I gotta get it.
I gotta go back.
Yeah, I don't know. That's some fucked up shit out there.
But you can't, I mean, if a celebrity, you know, I know it does suck when a celebrity loses their home, but it's not, like, Miley Cyrus is so rich.
I think she's got another home to go to.
Yeah, I mean, so many homes. I'm sure she owns so many properties, it just doesn't matter.
Probably make money on the insurance.
Doesn't matter. Rogan's fine.
Yeah.
I don't want him to lose, I'm not downplaying it, but you know,
I've been to Rogan's. Like, running from the fire with kettlebells.
Hell yeah.
His fucking
just burning hot. He's like, it makes you stronger.
His possessions. He's just sweating. I'm going back in. I think this is a good workout.
I have a bear rug that I have to go carry out of my compound. I've been to Rogan's podcast studio, so he's fine. If he worst case scenario, he can live in his podcast studio. It's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got fucking muscle cars. You're going out there soon, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going out there the week after Thanksgiving and doing all the shows out there. Should be a good time.
You never feel like less of a man than standing next to Joe Rogan as he sinks eight balls, like trick shots playing pool.
I know.
While simultaneously using a bow and arrow. And you're sitting there like, I'm not a man. I can't do anything.
Dude, in the Comedy Store parking lot, I thought he was going to sniff us.
Yeah.
He squared up to us. We went to go meet Joe. Where I went, Lewis Newmer, and meet Joe. And he squared up. I thought he was going to go...
Oh, yeah. He's very...
And just take me in as a creature.
Yeah,
he's like,
as an animal.
He's animalistic, like, alpha type. Like that. Like, it's a different type because I think he gets so into... Like, he really likes, like, those fucking, like, nature things where it's, like, you know, a bear and a fucking...
Oh, he loves watching animals.
Gorilla fist fighting or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's, like, his... So I think he, like, looks at that and he really, like... He gets a kick out of, like, the, you know, the animalistic side of human beings. So I felt... The first time I met Joe Rogan, I felt him... The same way you feel a gorilla look at you through the glass at the zoo, I felt that from Joe Rogan. Like, I felt like there's a gorilla, like, waiting for me to do a magic trick at a zoo, and if I didn't impress him,
and they love magic.
They do love magic. They love it. Oh, my God.
This wasn't always the...
Oh, he the devil! He the devil! He the devil! Oh, come here! Come here, yo! Come here, yo! You gotta see him do it! Do it again, yo! Do it again.
They run away from
cover your mouth and walk in a circle.
They run away from magic. It's astounding.
They really do.
Not a bolt.
No, but he definitely is an intimidating presence. And then you break through with Joe Rogan, and he's the sweetest, warmest guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, literally, like, he, you know, you, but it's a very weird thing upon first meeting him. It's a very strange energy. I don't know. It was different because he was coming into ONA back in the day.
Years ago, yeah. Joe wasn't always this Joe.
He was also not a fucking world famous celebrity at that point. You guys were putting him on at that time.
I think it was even before Fear Factor, like, or right at the beginning of Fear Factor. But I watched him on TV shows. He was like guest stars on all those Suddenly Susan type shows and things like that. And he's just a guy, you know, just a young actor looking to do something.
It's
hilarious. And now, you know, he's fucking Joe Rogan, like everyone knows him.
Yeah.
Big badass, but he's a great guy. He's such a fucking nice guy.
Yeah, he's a really good dude, and he loves comedy, and he hooks
people
up.
So funny, special.
The new one's great,
The new one's so good.
It's all the stuff on the Vegan Cats was so funny.
Vegan Cats was great. Also, the shit about his kid, if it was his son that was sucking dick to be Batman, he'd be like, you're going to be Batman, bitch. It's fucking hilarious, dude.
Really funny,
it's fucking hilarious. Yeah. So
he really works at it, man.
It's awesome. It's, you know, he's the example of, like, just doing what he wants to do. He gets up and he opens his eyes and just does what he wants to do, which I look at that. I'm very inspired by that. Is true success in my mind when you get up every day and you're, you know, you might love going to work every day. I love coming to work. I love coming here, doing podcasts and running Guest Digital and running the studio and opening up these things. It's very, very, very rewarding on another level.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
The commute's the only thing that I'm like, but at least I know I'm going to something I like doing.
Of course.
I think about it. It's like, what am I actually doing? I get to sit down, hang out with cool people and talk. That's great. It's the other hours that it takes to do that.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes the business end of it isn't fun. You know, you probably know. You're in this fucking thing now.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of the thing, you're an entertainer. You like being in front of the mic and doing it. And then there's behind the scenes stuff and technical stuff and all that. And it's like, please, can someone fucking deal with this?
Yeah.
I
weirdly get...
Anyone qualified? No? How about a cop?
Get me a cop. At least he can get me out of trouble sometimes.
You know, putting a gun on the table and spinning it isn't always the solution.
Yeah, wait a minute.
I get a thrill, weirdly, out of the behind-the-scenes stuff, too.
Yeah.
I really do. Like, making business deals. We sell advertising here. You know, we do merch. We do a lot of other things. And I always have. I've always had sort of a sales background and an entrepreneurial thing. But, you know, when I was a little kid, we used to, you know, I was a kid knocking on every door in the area asking if I could shovel your driveway.
Where's my mom? is my mom in here?
She was two houses ahead of us.
Oh, that's terrible.
I'm hungry.
So shit.
Please. No, but I you know, I've always sort of had that in me. So there's on that side of it as well, I you know, I really enjoy it. But Joe, he's an inspiration. I watch Ari. Ari is the same way, dude. Ari, when he took off to go do his podcast, or I'm sorry, when he took off to go travel, he like took off from his podcast, he took off from comedy. You know, it's just so like, whoa, are you fucking, you're taking 2 months off from everything? How do you even do that?
That's insane.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you're on vacation. When you do something like this, you're on vacation and all you're thinking is, oh, well, I'm going to get back and everybody's going to forget about me.
Yeah.
I got to get back.
I'm obsessed with like when I'm out of town, just kind of being back, and, you know, he's able to sort of let go. And I think that's a really, it's a goal of mine to be able to let go like that one day.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, it's tough. I want to talk about this really quick because we got a little bit of time left here. Also, right after the show, live, 1 o'clock Eastern, Believe You Me podcast with Michael Bisping in studio. So if you guys stick around right after this, we'll be doing another show. You get a little bit more Puerto Rican Rattlesnake. I want to say as well, really quick, if you love this show, we have over, how many episodes do we have now, Shannon, of this show?
This is number 323.
Wow. 323 episodes of this show, plus 22 other amazing podcasts on Gas Digital Network. Gas Digital Network is the place to be, besides Compound Media, for some of those amazing comedic podcasts in the world. Just signed the Tommy Dreamer Show, ECW legend, obviously Dee Snider from Twisted Sister, Andrew Dice Clay, you know, so many amazing shows, Joss the Show, Michael Bisping, Legion of Skanks, it goes on and on and on. If you guys love this show, you know that the latest 15 episodes are available on iTunes and YouTube. But we have every episode we've ever done of every show on Gas Digital, the entire on-demand library available at your fingertips, just a few clicks of a button at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP, get a 14-day free trial. See if you enjoy the premium service. Get the entire on-demand library in HD, ad-free. You don't got to listen to fucking ads. Uncensored, none of the bullshit censoring for YouTube. Plus pre-release on new episodes as well. Sometimes you miss a live stream, you want to catch them the next day. Boom, you don't got to wait. GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP. Get yourself a free trial. Save $1.50 a month. It's only $7 a month if you decide to keep the service. So go do that and fucking enjoy it. All right. Had to bring this up. This is a crazy story. So there's a woman. Where is this at? Tell me a little bit about this. Who was this, Harrington or Shannon, that brought up this story?
Me.
You know, number five.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about this, Shannon.
So it's kind of pretty much what the headline is. It was a chick and a guy together, and he had a huge penis. And after they broke up, she said that his penis was so big that it actually stretched out her vagina, and she had to get reconstructive surgery done.
It's
and he wants
book.
Her to pay.
Chapter 9.
So she wants her ex to pay for the reconstructive surgery.
So she's suing
surgery.
Him.
Wow. Yeah, she's suing him.
Oh, my God. Suing him because his dick was too big?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, if she wins, though, he has to give her one of those giant checks and, like, present it to her at a supermarket.
Ladies and gentlemen, this guy is officially this week's Real Ass Dude of the Week.
Wow. He's a real ass dude. He's got a bad attitude. One might feel he's
rude. He's a real ass dude. Real Ass Dude of the Week.
Wow.
Give me some details on the story here. Is there anything else that we have? No names, no pictures. We have the size of his cock.
There are names. They're from Zimbabwe.
Oh, well. African.
Wow.
What does she expect?
Oh, my God. A big dick for Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
That's... Next, she's going to sue her dad to get her clip back.
That's fucked up. I don't know. I don't know what the court systems are like in Zimbabwe, but I don't think she's got much of a case there.
All rise for the honorable boom, boom, boom. Just fucking a bunch of...
Order. I don't think...
They do the dance from Coming to America every time the judge enters the room.
I don't think it would stretch out that much from a penis, no matter how big it is. Like, babies come through those fucking things.
Well, you've never seen a Zimbabwe cock.
I never have.
Yeah. How big is that fucking dick that it would stretch it out to the point... I mean,
bigger
obviously,
than a baby's head.
Yeah,
come on.
It says it wasn't confirmed, but the amount that she's suing for For the reconstructive surgery is 8,000 pounds. So I guess a little over 9,000 pounds.
No, that's the weight of his cock.
Oh.
You read that wrong, Shannon.
Sorry.
8,000 pounds.
Yeah, that's a big old fucking dick.
That is a big dick, but I think
she can't win. You let it inside of you. You saw it and you let it inside of you.
That's something. Don't you hope for a little gasp or an ouch or something from the girl?
From a chick?
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because if she does it, I feel like she's being sarcastic. I feel like she's mocking me to my face. Like when a girl's like, ooh, too big. I'm like, all right, bitch.
Oh, no. Okay, no, really? That I can understand.
Really? You think I'm stupid? Like, I don't fucking know?
You're just you're taunting me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if it's a genuine, you know, you hear just, you know, not, oh, my goodness, what a giant dick you have. Yeah. It's hurting me. But if you hear like
ouch,
a little
mister.
Moan or
yeah. Out, sir, can I have my ice cream now?
Or like a twitch or like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of.
You know, all you need is like good. Easy. Like when just they tell you to slow down a little. That's like nice.
Backing in a truck.
I get none of this. I get none of these things. Boy. And it's not that my dick is small. I mean, my girlfriend, she has a pretty tight puss.
God
so
bless.
Yeah, she does. So I got to be honest with you. She really does. And she's like, you know, she'll be like, you know, but that's not about me. It's about her.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know it's not like, she's not doing it to like make, to big me up because we'll have to stop sometimes and that's not good.
That's not good. Oh.
Is or maybe it, she's is just making it because she doesn't want me sweating on her. My big fat body pounding into her. She's like, ow, ooh,
how can I
too
get out
big.
Of this? How can I get out of this? Your dick's too big.
Your dick's too big. It hurts.
Oh, God, that's great.
Eek.
Fucking terrible.
Fucking terrible.
It really is.
Shannon, what's the biggest dick you've ever had in your life?
I think it was the guy that I talk about that I had sex with from the dating game here.
Yeah.
And it was about 9 inches.
9 inches.
The width of like a Poland Spring water bottle.
Yeah, remember the guy who sent the picture of his dick with the water bottle?
Oh, that's right.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it was too much.
It was work.
How many times did you fuck him?
4 times.
Wow.
And it was on the 4th time that it was actually like I could deal with it. It was very difficult.
So he stretched you out.
So. I mean, or I got used to it maybe.
All right, boner check. Come on, guys. Look at Harrington. He's fucking.
So wait, you spent all the time getting used to it and then stopped?
No, like we like, you know, we got through it, but it was like very painful. It was and then like the 4th, because he was here for 4 days, so he had sex like once a day, and then the last day before he left, it like worked well.
It worked well, and you were into it.
Yeah.
Any ass play?
No.
That would have been hilarious, right? Fucking water bottle.
And it was like he had to like ease it in slowly.
Yeah.
And you had to be like, all right, hold on, I need a break for a second.
Yeah.
What a guy.
This is really hot. Can we, Shannon, this is not like literally the most intriguing thing you've ever said to me. You should open up every time you speak to people with this story about how you had to use this huge
dick.
Then
I feel like you're just going
to
call me a whore again.
I'm not calling you a whore. Okay. This is actually endearing.
No, we called you a whore when you got double teamed, not when you just fucked the guy with a big
Remember when
dick.
You just fucked both those guys that time for fun to have your fill? Yeah, that
was.
That
was time that you and the man you loved. Had a three with a guy with a bigger dick than him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that.
That happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shannon's, she gets out there.
She's been.
I don't anymore. That was in my 20s. I don't have sex anymore. It's been 8 months.
Well, we're going to do it. Why can't we have why'd you have a contest on SDR show to fuck Shannon, but we can't have a contest on.
We can do it
Real
again.
S
it's
podcast.
About that time.
You're such.
Every 2 years, I'll
You're
have a
dirty
dating
whore.
Show.
You really are. I got no problem with it, but you just really would fuck one of these fans?
No, it's crazy. He actually wasn't the winner of the contest, the guy that I had sex with.
Who was the winner of the contest?
It was actually someone that you probably all know. His name is Nick Z. He's like
a
comedian.
Oh, yeah, I know
Nick
Z. Yeah, yeah.
So
what
he
happened?
Ended up winning. We actually went on a date that Zach chaperoned.
I chaperoned, and
what
I made notes.
What the fuck was Zach going to do? Nick Z would fucking destroy
no,
Zach.
I was there to take notes.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Nick Z? He's fucking jacked. He's got muscles on top of muscles.
I would throw Shannon at him and run.
So he won, and then, but the guy who I had sex with lives in North Carolina, and so I talked to him a little bit, and he was very sweet, and we kept texting and stuff. He flew back to New York a month later, and then that's when it happened.
Mm-hmm. You act like it was like an
that's
event.
When it happened.
Yeah.
Wow, he's just down there in North Carolina?
North Carolina, yeah.
That's a detriment, though. That's a detriment to have that big of a dick. Girls, think about how many girls, because I'm assuming Shannon's vagina is pretty big, right? So think about how many girls turn him down because they can't jam that huge cock inside of him.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, Shannon, they're all psyched to be with him, and then the clothes come off, and they're like, oh, get the fuck out of here.
That's too much.
I can't use that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Good for that guy. Maybe we will do some sort of contest to be able to bang Shannon.
What? I'm not guaranteeing that as the prize. That just happened to happen.
Now, what do we do? How can we make it a guarantee?
Our first contestant, Mbuku from Zimbabwe.
But what? How do we guarantee it? Money?
No.
You want to prostitute yourself?
Absolutely not.
No. Money.
Can we pay you to fuck a fan?
No.
Wow.
That's a great category in porn that I'm surprised more porn stars don't do.
Like what?
Fuck a fan. That category specifically where a porn star fucks a fan and they have like a contest. Lainey's here. Lainey, why isn't that more of a popular category? Come here, Lainey. Come here for a second.
I think it's that last thread of dignity that's keeping them from blowing their brains out.
Maybe.
There's a reason that was the saddest part of Boogie Nights.
No, that was great. Dude, that was the only jerkable scene in Boogie Nights.
What, in the pickup truck?
No, in the limo.
Yeah, in the limo.
No, the pickup truck.
Wait, what's the
pickup
truck?
He's jerking off, looking at his dick.
Lainey Spicer.
Yes.
Famous publicist to the adult stars.
Yes.
thank you for joining us for a second.
My pleasure.
Why don't porn stars fuck fans more often? I think this is a great category. And for me, it's one of my go-to categories.
They do for gangbangs. Gangbangs are usually fans. Yeah, that's usually when they knock it out.
This is Roller Girl. Bang.
I had a client that had a movie called Kelly Shibari is Overloaded, and it was a fan gangbang. So that's usually when it's a fan bang. That's what they call it, fan bang.
Fan bang.
But it's never with one guy. They usually get it all over with.
Mia Khalifa has one where she like just fucks a virgin. That's a great one. Yeah. There's another one.
There's a whole site, Fuck a Fan.
But the problem with Fuck a Fan is whoever the guy, pull up Fuck a Fan, that
Sometimes
site.
Sometimes their dicks are way too big and they fuck too good.
No. The guy who runs it, he looks like a greasy motherfucker.
Oh, the guy looks like Guy Fieri with no beard.
There's two. That's one
What's
of them.
What's the director? You know what
about. These fucking, that guy right there.
Yes.
That guy right there, he's such a fun, and he's always in the shots. Like, he's almost like Paulie Dangerously with a microphone, like jumping up and down in the background. I'm like, dude, I'm trying to jerk off. Can you beat it right now? Like, I can't do it.
So these are fans, but.
These are fans that get to fuck porn stars.
You don't think they're really fans, though?
I think
No, they are. They are. No, they do. They usually have ads out on like Craigslist and stuff like that. And they have to all get tested.
Oh, you
and
gotta
stuff.
Get
yeah, you have to yeah. get tested. You have to sign a release.
But it's just
form
AIDS, and, though, because I'm sure every porn star. I don't want to shut up.
No, no. I mean,
most porn stars have to have herpes. I talked to.
It's herpes. Yeah. No, you're right. It doesn't test for herpes. It doesn't, or else no one would perform.
Work.
It tests.
Does everyone
for,
have herpes?
Everyone. Has
yeah,
to.
Probably everyone does. But it's for HIV and syphilis, the deadlier things.
Yeah.
So that's why it was a HIV. Big deal when Mr. That. Marcus fudged on that test when he had syphilis. And
he shit on it? No. I'm not taking this test. Mr. Marcus.
How dare you?
I'm not going to call you Mr. if that's your attitude. We were gonna do a thing, and I know they kind of did it at Exotica, where we were gonna have a male fan win an opportunity to be in a porn. Can we facilitate this somehow?
We can.
I want to do that. I want to give a male fan of this show the opportunity to be in a porn, with a hot porn chick.
Okay. Wow.
Who's a chick we can get? Give me somebody fucking good right now, Lainey. That one of the fans are gonna get excited about.
You know, if we could get like Kendra Sunderland.
I'll enter right now. I'm going to.
Yeah.
If it's Kendra Sunderland, I'm leaving my fucking girlfriend and I'm rigging the contest.
Yeah. You have
Kendra
to.
Kendra's
awesome.
She's really hot. Or Ginger. You've met Ginger Banks.
Yeah.
Ginger Banks would be into doing that for sure.
Can we see Ginger Banks for a second? Wait, what, Harrington?
You remember you met her on your show?
Yeah.
Pull up Kendra Sunderland and
Kendra
Ginger
would just
Banks.
Be the shit, though.
Yeah.
Kendra is
number
too
one
beautiful for porn.
Whoa.
I don't want to. I'm not hating. I'm just telling you, Lainey. She should just go marry a billionaire.
Yeah, Ginger.
Would What's the point? This is Ginger.
Yeah
she looks like
Ginger.
She's a good time. Her tongue looks sick though.
Yeah, there you go.
She got a tongue like a, she got a tongue like a rhinoceros. Remember the sick rhinoceros in Jurassic Park, the first one, where they went up to it and
squeezing things off of it.
Look at Kendra Sutherland. She's crazy.
Yeah,
she's crazy. If we can get Kendra Sutherland to fuck a fan for a real, I mean,
oh my god, stop.
Are you kidding me? Look, Anthony's gonna fucking get a gas digital subscription right now.
Yeah, I would be all over that.
I'm kidding, babe. My girlfriend's staring at me right now, furious. I know you're here. That's why I'm saying it. These are jokes.
Oh boy.
Kendra Kim just storms out to go masturbate in the library.
yeah, she's
this
library.
Is what you fucking want?
She's library girl. That's what she's famous for. Oh,
but Ginger
God.
Would do it if, let's say, you had the proceeds go to some sort of sex workers advocacy group.
Oh,
and stuff
yeah, there
like.
You
specifically
go.
Her bank account?
Yeah. No, but seriously.
Sex
you know,
workers advocacy group? Jim Norton?
Yeah.
All proceeds are going to go to Jim Norton, everyone. All right, let's. Thank you very much, Lane. I appreciate it. We're gonna set this up. If we can get Kendra, that would be and Ginger too. Oh, Ginger's hot too. Why not? I'm just saying, Kendra's like, Kendra's disturbingly beautiful.
Yeah. It's.
She's like you know you
would stop if you saw her in the street.
Yeah, she's like she walks in the street. You're like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Because certain porn stars, it's like you know they look good. You ever see those like videos where they have. Like before makeup.
Oh, yeah.
Pull that up. There's like, they have a whole, like, it might have been a picture series or a video series.
Some of them don't even look like them at all.
Doggy, some of them look like gremlins.
Yeah, they're
some of them,
really.
And then they make them really hot.
Get that makeup on.
Makeup. Dude, these weird bitches don't realize the advantage that they have in life. Look at this.
Oh, my God. Come on.
10 shocking pictures of. Look at this.
All right.
Her boyfriend just fucking club her in the face. What did she do before she went to that shoot?
Oh, my God. All right, she looks like a regular girl.
She's a regular chick. Yeah, you gotta, let's see.
Regular chick. Oh, my goodness.
Doggy. But look how beautiful she looks with the makeup on.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Oh, come on.
This is fucked up.
Oh, my God.
This is what, Shannon, we know what you look like, you fucking monster. You think you get to fucking play us every day, Shannon? You make me sick. This is my real fucking face. Look at this.
Jesus.
It's a goddamn nightmare.
What is happening?
She's fine.
Just regular.
She's fine.
Regular
she
girl.
Just is a pale bitch.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that bitch. That looks a couple
That's
girls.
That's cool though. You wake up in the
look
whoa!
At this. That's me. It's me before. I'm the before, and then this is crazy.
Wow.
But is she's also
that lady looks like Alfred E. Newman.
She looks great right there. Oh Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh my goodness.
See that? Look, she's gore. She goes from looking like a little dude. To being gorgeous.
Dude.
Look at her. She looks like a fucking gross little fucking... She looks like she's on Reddit.
Right.
Another one. Looks like a dude.
Another one that looks like a dude.
Looks like a dude. Yeah, I'm not hating. Fuck. These are all Lainey's clients, by the way. We're just calling them dudes to their face.
No, they look...
What the fuck happened to her face?
Wow, I guess they did some collagen injections.
Jesus Christ. But once again, I'd see her all made up, and I'd be very excited about it.
Oof.
Zach, is this what you're going for when you wear makeup? You think it's making you look better?
I'm just keeping it interesting, baby.
All right, we're good with this. We got it.
Keep it real.
We're gonna answer a couple questions here before we wrap this one up. Anthony, it's been a great show so far.
Oh, I love it.
Love having you on. Make sure you guys pick up Anthony's book on pre-order right now, Amazon.com.
Yeah, Amazon, right? BarnesandNoble.com.
Yeah, go buy it, dude. Support it. It's awesome.
Thank you.
It's a really fun, easy, quick read. You just kind of tear through the pages. It's not, you know, it reads like normal people talk. It doesn't read like you try to read a fucking Game of Thrones book. One page in my eyes hurt. I'm thirsty for some reason.
Very easy read, definitely.
Yeah. This is just a nice way of me calling Anthony stupid.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's written in markers.
I love it. Yeah. It's scribbled.
All right. So let's get some questions going, and then we'll wrap this bad boy up.
Give me a fucking answer. 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 I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
All right.
Frightening music on this show.
Yeah, we don't
Are
fuck
you
around.
Scared.
We got a lot of music beds.
Yeah.
You know, why not produce it a little bit, right? Let's see. C_Killaman wants to know: are you fighting Kurt Metzger next year at Ellis Mania? No, I don't think so. If he wanted to, I would.
Yeah.
Just because I know that would be something that would... If I fought Harrington, if I fought... If Kurt Metzger agreed to fight me at Ellis Mania, I mean, would that not be the most look... the fight you look forward to most, more than Brock in DC, more than fucking Conor McGregor versus George St. Pierre, any super fight you could think of, Luis J. Gomez versus Kurt Metzger.
All three of those fights are going to get shut down for drug use, by the way.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, that's a, you know, million pay-per-view buy minimum. Minimum.
I legitimately think we can get 20,000 buys on it.
Are they, do you think he'd be a competition for you at all?
No. I would destroy him.
He's got, like, that psychopathic thing, though. Yeah. It's like a mental patient.
Yeah. That doesn't really help you in a fist fight.
Nah, I guess not.
You know, that whole, like, being crazy, you know, that's a myth that helps in a fight. You know,
yeah. I think
running would help more. No, me and Metzger have squashed our beef, but look, if he wanted to square down in the octagon, obviously not in Ellis Mania because this would be too big of a fight. We need to fucking make it our own pay-per-view. I would do it. So you get on the line with Kurt Metzger's people. I'll get a number. We'll get a number that makes sense for him, and we'll make it happen.
Huge.
He's trying to make. I should pursue that. How hard up is Kurt for money right now? What's the number do you think we can get him to fight me for?
Better do it soon.
$1,500. I don't know. No, obviously not going to fight Kurt Metzger. But who knows? Maybe I will fight again one day. Who knows what's going to happen? Man, Dave Job Good at Man Dave Job Good says, "Do you still fap to Lisa Ann, or have you stopped out of respect for your colleague?" It's an interesting question. Do you still fap it to Lisa? You know Lisa pretty well.
Sure.
Anthony, do you still fap it to her?
No.
Yeah.
I never really fapped it to her.
Yeah. I'm not into old broads. Not that Lisa's old, but she's the MILF category. I'm
right.
Into like younger, like that's like my category now.
Right.
After I met Lisa, then I started fapping it to her a bunch. Because at that point, there's a connection. You
right.
Know her.
Right. Now you know you the person.
Mentally
sure.
Get the fantasy going, like of walking down the path of... You know, look at Harrington shaking his head like Harrington's going to show up at her place to record a fucking ad. And then she's like, you know what? I want some dick.
You can.
Why not you pull out your dick, Harrington?
Isn't it's that sort easier of a, to fantasize.
But you know her.
Like the way you fill out that Steak'em shirt, buddy.
The boy can dream.
But the path to victory there is way more realistic. And you can connect the dots to that fantasy once you meet a porn chick.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely. A porn chick who showed, I don't want to say her name, because she showed up at the Legion of Skank show in LA, and this chick had blocked me on social media before because I trolled her a couple times.
Oh, shit.
I didn't even troll her. She was just, she had quit porn, and she would, like, just complain about the porn industry, so I was just, like, following her out of, like, my own weird, like, craziness, watching her spiral, and then, like, one day I just couldn't, I had enough with her. Just fucking, I don't even remember what it was, but she was like just complaining about porn, but asking dudes for money for pussy pictures or something. So then I was just playing around and I wrote her a couple of things and she got very sensitive and blocked me really quickly. And then she ended up being at the Legion of Skank show in LA.
Really?
Bizarre.
Did you have words or anything?
No, she didn't say anything. I don't know if she even knew it was me. She came with somebody who was, I don't even want to say who she came with.
Wow.
It was fucking crazy.
This crazy world.
Small world.
You're living in.
All right, let's get another question or two and then we're out of here. We'll wrap this one. Let's see. Anything else? All right, last question here. Mr. 3MMA wants to know, how is anger management going, and do you worry it will make you have less podcast material since Lewis vs. Cab Drivers has been great podcast content for Legion of Skanks? You know, I touched on this earlier.
Yeah.
And no, Dougie, look, I talk a lot. I do like 10 hours of podcasting a week. A very small fraction of it is, you know, interactions with me getting to arguments with people. I'm fine. I can come up with fucking content.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I fucking do.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I don't think you need to get into sometimes life-threatening altercations with people in order to put on an entertaining program.
Not at all.
I think the funny thing now is going to be you having to deal with it.
Yeah, me shutting it down and me, you know, it doesn't... It's we're supposed to just create, and whatever happens in our lives, like people say that, like, oh, once you start being successful, you're not going to be funny anymore.
Yeah,
once you have a kid, it's going to change everything. Once you stop smoking, once you get sober, that's going to be a real problem. You're not going to be able to. And no, I've all of these different things in my lives. I've go through different, you know, periods in my life where I change things up.
And yeah, now instead of yelling at the flight attendant, it was interpreted as flirting, and you got a nice little gift.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it's my own funny little story. and it's better. I'm living my life, and I do feel better. Even shutting it down, I feel proud of myself when I stop myself from getting angry wow. and getting worked up. Like I go like, all right, stop, shut it down, and then I kind of go like, all right, that was fucking rewarding in itself to not flip out and fucking yeah. get myself worked up. So we're all learning, Anthony. We're all learning.
Like the who was that? Gert, Amon Gert, and with the Holocaust movie, Schindler's List, where he's like, I pardon you. And he felt all good that he yeah. wasn't just killing people
yes.
for like 10 minutes.
That's it.
Then he went right back to shooting him in the head.
Yeah, you're probably naming Wednesday or Thursday this week. It's going to really fall apart.
I pardon you. Yeah.
Anthony, love having you on the show. I do.
Thank you.
And you guys got to watch Anthony Cumia's show, The Anthony Cumia Show with Dave Landau, every yes. Monday through Thursday. On compoundmedia.com.
Thank you, sir.
4 p.m. Eastern.
You guys, great call, by the way. Dave's funny as shit.
Dave's the fucking amazing. Man. Really yeah, funny yeah. dude. Really, you know, keeps you silly. I see him all the time.
He's like, so fucking cool like yeah. that. He perfect co-host. When yeah. he filled in for Artie during one of Artie's sabbaticals,
yeah.
I knew, like, wow, this guy's yeah. a really good.
It's a great show, and yeah. I love you coming on the show. We love having you. You're always welcome.
Anytime,
open invite.
Man. I love
so
it.
Go watch Anthony's show. Buy Anthony's book. And we will be back on Wednesday. Who's in studio on Wednesday, Shannon? You don't know? We don't have anybody? Not yet? Well, let me know later. Okay. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday and Friday. Peace.
C'est la vie. Adios. Good riddance. Fuck you.
That's all, folks.